I'm going to give a prediction of about November. The day after. I'm going to give a prediction. I'm going to give our election prediction. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm not who I predict. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I already know what's going to happen. But I can't tell. Now, one of the most votes win, yeah. No, that don't count anymore either. we've seen people win the popular and lose electoral. So I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. And you can't do it. No, if you... I'm just going to tell you is, it's going to be so dependable. When I tell you Sunday morning, you can set your clock by it. It's going to calm a lot of nerves. Right now, there's something called ETSD, election trauma. Yeah, is it a post-traumatic stress disorder? It's election trauma stress disorder. And people are really, really messing up. They just don't know what to do. There's so many people. They're fighting each other. And Hillary says, let's talk about the issues, but she's constantly talking about him. And he says, let's talk about the issues, but he's constantly talking about her. It's been the biggest mudslinging. And we got two candidates nobody likes. I don't know how we got two candidates with such high disapproval rates. It makes no sense. How do we do this? I know the Democrats, I mean, from what we've seen and by those WikiLeaks things, this is who they wanted. Okay, that's who they wanted. And we all know that the Republicans, that's not who they wanted. So I don't know how to work that out. So, but I did, one of the WikiLeaks did say, she was quoted as saying, I hope, and we're going to try, we hope that we have to go against Donald Trump. And if we go against Donald Trump, that's how we win. It's going against Donald Trump. So they already had it figured out that if they could fight Donald Trump, and so I have a feeling, they might have been behind somebody's foot. The media is all for Hillary. And so with the media all for Hillary because they're very liberal, then like this weekend when the Republican here in North Carolina when the Republican House or election board got burned up, vandalized, if it had been a Democratic House burned up, we'd have been demonized. But just by the way, this happened. Okay, everybody. Yeah, but I was going to say is that if it had been a Democrat, well, we'd have been in trouble. And they'd have said, you know, all about Trump's people. But the media, I believe, and that somebody predicted this early on, is that the media was going to help get Trump in order that he could go against the Democrat, and then they could dump him when he got there. And that's what they did. They dumped him. I mean, they have dumped him like a hot potato. Well, be careful what you say. Yeah, please be careful what you say. Like, I was in the airport the other day, and Linda said, we were leaving Boston Airport, and all the other airports, we didn't have, I mean, I'm telling you, the man with rubber gloves was very gentle. Boston was so different. She said, why is this so different than the rest of the airports? And I said, because of the recent bombings. And she said, I ask you not to say bomb. And I said, well, you asked me why we're having to do this is because of the Boston bombings and the other stuff, you know, that they're tighter on that. We had to take stuff out of our suitcase. We had to put, I mean, it was just totally different. You know, had to take your shoes off, take your coat off. It was so different than any other airport, Boston. And I believe it's because of Boston bombings. Well, and also, You got the, there's people come in and do some weird things like the underwear bomber and the shoe bomber. And there was a few guys on the plane, I wish they'd kept their shoes on because they should have checked in. Yeah, here we go. Let's get into this. Here we go. I can tell you what, now they put you in that scanner. Checking that scanner. I can tell you this. If you go to Washington, D.C., don't play. We went to the Capitol building. I was going in, or we went to the Senate. We were going to go see how the Senate, I was chaperoned for the school. And I went in and I buzzed. And so the guys told me to get back and take my coat off. So I put my coat, this was years ago, so I took my coat off. Come back in, I buzzed again. He said, okay. He said, now, pull everything out your pockets. And I did. You know, I buzzed again. And he said, okay, take your belt off. Took the belt off and it buzzed again. He said, okay, well, I'm not, we're going to start looking further. And so I went, da, 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 da. They didn't think it was funny. it was in my belt buckle. All right, here we go. This is the seventh day. Day seven. So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have that little booklet. It's going to be Reclaiming Your Identity in Christ Journal, seven-day journal. And just take it in. And, of course, y'all are going to get one. But what we're going to do is, because it's going to be kind of expensive, if people want them, it's going to be kind of expensive. You're going to take and give them to your friends and family. So there'll be a fee for the rest of them, probably $1. Just so you can pay for the ink and the paper and all that. And all the money will go right back to the church. So that's where they go back to if you want more. But y'all have been here and been faithful. Y'all get one. Okay, y'all get the book. It's not going to be big. It's just going to be 14, 20 pages of a booklet. And a one page, each page on the front will be something like this. The second page is going to be lines and maybe thoughts and actions, and you know, and then there'll be something on the front, something on the back, and then a harder front, and a harder back. So that's coming up in the next few weeks, and that's going to be good. And we can trust God that if we do this, it's going to be this. Your life will be this, right? So again. Next week, we'll finish all this up with identity. We'll go something else. But what's your real identity? What is an identity? We've been talking about this. What's your real identity? We've been talking about that for weeks. And what is an identity? An identity is something you're born with, or is it changeable never able to change? It's both. You're born with it, but you still can change. And that's the cool thing about free will. We can still change. That's awesome. 7 days of claiming your identity in Christ. In order for Christians to walk in victory, to identify the lies we believe about ourselves, exchange them for the truth about who we really are in Christ, and consider the seven lies we tell ourselves, seven truths from God's Word. Consider the seven lies we tell ourselves and the seven truths from God's Word. The lasting change, we must cast aside the lies and rely on God's Word. Amen. So if we're gonna do this, then it's very important that we listen, we watch, don't take offense, but get it, hold it, believe it, trust it. Amen. Day seven, my new inheritance. My life has no value if I do not succeed financially and leave a comfortable inheritance. You know, I had a uncle that actually did 30 years in the country. 30 years. He really had a nice little nest egg. He also was working for the county. And working for the county, he was doing okay. Loving what he did. And he was getting ready to retire for the second time. I think it was retired at 62 or 65. I can't remember which it was. I think it was 65. And he was just ready to retire. Matter of fact, he had actually turned 65 in a couple of weeks before he ever received his first check in the middle of the night. He had a heart attack. And I thought about it. I preached his funeral. Thought about that. People all the time, they're They're trying to make sure they got it all together here, and so much they can even leave it behind, you know, all this stuff. And you know what? When God calls your number, it doesn't matter. This man here was active. This isn't one of those guys that retired and died because he was not doing anything. He was very active. He was getting ready to open up his own mechanic shop. He'd already had his stuff put over behind his barn. And when he retired, him and my other uncle were going together up in a mechanic shop. But of course, before he ever got his first retirement check. Now, as bad as that sounds, if he was, and I'm not going to say if he was or if he wasn't, I don't know, that's him. But if he was not ready to meet God, that was more of a tragedy than not receiving his first. And if he was ready to receive or ready to go be received with God in heaven, then that check didn't matter. Think about it. And so I look back and I see things, and the older I get, the more different I see these things. And it just boggles my mind that some of the things people struggle and fight for, and then things like my uncle, who was a good man, who served our country greatly. I mean, he served it valiantly. Been in some rough scrapes. See, people think the Coast Guard just stays 200 miles off, up 200 miles off the coast. You know what's not true? Wherever the Navy goes, that's right. My uncle, right, they were in Vietnam. You know why? Because they go between the ship and the shore. So wherever the Navy's at, the Coast Guard is there. So they're in Afghanistan or off the shores of off the shores of Iraq and all those places. That Coast Guard is there with the Navy. Uncle served valiantly, and but you know what? His greatest reward, if he was ready, is in heaven. Anyway. Now, here's the thing. People look at this stuff, and they just say, well, I'm no good if I haven't succeeded financially, and if I don't have a big old wad to leave somebody. You know what? As a pastor, I have gotten in more scrapes or been invited into more scrapes over people fighting over who's going to get what. I've watched great, great family relationships. I have seen some people you thought would never do a harm to anybody all of a sudden become alpha. No, I mean, I can't believe it. So I told my daddy one day, Daddy said, I'm trying to figure out what to do with what I got when I die. I said, well, one thing for sure, Daddy, you can't put a new home carrot with you. And you can't dig a hole and throw it. You can dig the hole and throw it in there, but it ain't going to go with you. And I told my daddy, I said, well, just do me a favor. He said, what? He said, you're going to be the executor. I said, good. Because here's what I want. He says, what? I said, leave me. And my dad said, I'm not leaving you out of the will. I said, will you please do that? Leave me out of here. He said, we don't get along so good. I said, you pastor, I can't tell you the hundreds of times that I have been involved, either with other people or church members. And I said, even my own family. I said, so just do me a favor. Let me just avoid all that in my life. I don't care. Just leave me out. I said, well, I can tell you. I remember when my wife died, all I got was a stack of bills on the table about that thick all across the table. Because that the last week of she was a school teacher, back when the school teacher was made, started out at like 23,000 a year. what she had a 4-year degree, double major, went to colleges. And she got started at like 22,000 to 23,000 a year. And I just couldn't believe it. Of course, now they've fixed it. So hopefully in the next few years, according to Governor McCrory, teachers can make that better. They need to. Teachers need to make a whole lot more than they're making, because they are providing the root of society. The root. And so they need the band of police and the firemen and all of them. They provide the root. They protect the root. Teachers feed the root. They protect the root. And we need to make sure that these people are taken care of. But getting back to it, though, is again, Daniel DC gave me the greatest compliment not long ago. They said, I don't know who was preaching about water, talking about water. They said, I can tell you, said, for a fact, from what we've seen, my daddy, does not eat up the water. You know what? Because I watch him burn up. And watch my wife die. And then we try to catch up after she died, leaving me with me to burn it. And so I had somebody ask me the other day, said, you really let a lot of things bother you. Like that. I said, well, I said, can I tell you what? He said, what I said about 16, 17 years ago. I said, my wife died. And after I got left, and my whole life changed. And I said, man, I've learned to be content with life. So, again, my new inheritance. Here's what I look for. This honestly, if I had to say, I like all of them, all 7 days. But this one here's one of my favorites. And here's why. And again, I'm not saying God doesn't want to bless you. Please, no. I'm not saying God doesn't want you to live comfortable. I'm not saying that at all either. What I'm saying is, that's all you're looking for, there's a problem. Okay? God will let you live comfortably. God wants you to live comfortably so you can be a blessing to other people. We're blessed to be a blessing. So, again, if you realize, or here it is, if we realize that we are a conduit, not a blessing, because it goes in, it goes out. If all we are is a vessel, gimme, my name's Jimmy, gimme, then there's a problem. So God wants us to be conduit. He gives us, he blesses us, we bless others. And as we bless others, he continues to bless us. In every part of your life, when you're getting this stuff here, God, you be a conduit with this, you give it to somebody else. Any way you're being blessed, in any way, form, or fashion, you are a conduit. Let it go through you and not just in you and stay. The Dead Sea, they would take slaves, and Alexander the Great, those guys took slaves and tied them up and threw them in the Dead Sea just to see how they kept talking about how bullets in that were so high in that Dead Sea because of salt. And the slaves were tied up and hit, they threw them over and they floated. Because the Dead Sea is the richest mineral deposits in a river in the world. The only problem is nothing lives there. The reason nothing lives there, because it all comes in, but there's no tributary. And so it all comes in, but there's no tributary. And so when we live our lives that same way, we're dead on the inside. Because it's all coming in, but it's not going out. And so here it is. I have God given value. Here's the truth. I have God given value because I've been given a new inheritance that provides the only true and lasting significance and security possible. So here it is. I love these things too. This is awesome. Like I said, this is the one of the most awesome of all of the 7 days. And I reckon that's why it is the last one of the 7 days. Here we go. Let's see here. I got two Bibles going on. All right. I have been made an heir of God. The Bible says that we are heirs and joint heirs. One old country preacher said we were heirs and joint heirs. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. Now, I want you to think about something we're talking about here. Again, my uncle had not even received his first retirement check. And he lost his job. Heart attack. Now, my question is, again, that was something that would have sustained him throughout the time of the circuit. Yes, you need that. I'm not saying you don't need it. You need it. But the point is, once you die, what happens on the other side is very important. So, an heir is somebody that actually, if you die and leave a bunch, that those heirs are going to be the ones to be fighting over who gets what. I watched as my stepmother tried to move around some stuff in the house, and my sister told her not to move a thing in the house because it belonged to my mom. And I told my sister, you've got no pony in this race. You back up. This is her house. Mama's been gone. Stop. Right? An heir is someone who receives something by a portion or a share given by lot. So one who receives by lot an heir, in Messianic usage, all who receives his allotted possession by right of sonship, or the portion that's allotted to him, it says, therefore you're no longer a slave or bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. And here's my favorite way to think about it. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave but a child? And if you are a child, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. I guarantee you that when somebody goes to read your will, your family, unless you got somebody way off somewhere that you really just thought you needed to do something. Well, I'm pretty sure it's just going to be family, maybe some friends. That's it. Or some guy off the road comes up and says, I come by to read the will. I want to see my name. Right. Yeah. He didn't even know you. When God's will is read, what's God's will? His word. When that will is read, whatever's in that will, we'll be taking stuff. Not just in the hereafter, but in the here and now. Whatever God's word says we can have, we can have the peace, the joy, the comfort, and to be blessed. All of that. But again, I am not a vessel to store it. I am a conduit to push it through. Remember that. If all you think of is you're a vessel to receive it, then God's going to stop. Or even what you get is not going to make you happy. When you become a conduit and it goes through you, did some amazing things. So, I've been made an heir of God. Isn't that cool? I'm an heir of David's land. When I bought that piece of land from my daddy, actually, when you look on the map, it says the heirs of Myrtle Park. And the heirs, that's my grandmama, the heirs of Myrtle Park land was my daddy, his brothers, and his sisters. So when Daddy got it, it was in his name, but it still at the top said, heirs of Myrtle Park. If you look on my name up there now, it says, my name, I'm the owner of that piece of land, but it says at the top, heirs of Myrtle Park. So when you got that Bible down, you may have a promise you claim for yourself, but it's because we are heirs. Don't forget, before we leave, and I meant to do it before now, I'll make you a calendar to take home with you. I might put that calendar in the back of this, but I'm going to write it down right now. 30 days of praying who God is over your life. Number two, I've inherited everything needed to be God. You know, Sam, my son-in-law, called me Saturday or texted me. I said, "What's wrong, Sam?" He said, "I got a bad life. I'm trying to fix it." And he says, "I'm not sure what's going on, and I don't really want to feel like getting shot." And I said, "Sam, do me a favor." He said, "Well," I said, "stop. Stop." I said, "I'll go around and go." So Sunday after church, I went around, and we didn't have tools. We didn't have the needed stuff. But I had the tools, and I went to Lowe's and got the needed stuff. You do that for you, but you got to have the right stuff. You don't. And so, no, it's not. Yeah. I tell you what, I had DC. I was at DC's house, and my phone in my pocket like this. I was at DC's house, and I was trying to help DC in his house do some wiring. And I said, "Turn the switch off." And so he takes and he turns the switch down. And when I saw him push it down, I said, "There's no need to check it." He said, "He put the switch to down position." And I hit it up against the metal. It was hot. It was so hot that I literally had to restart my phone 3 times for it to work. Because it went on through. And my heart, yeah. No, it worked. Two-way switch. And they had it wired backwards. They had it wired backwards. And so I wired everything back right. What I was going to say is, you know, but getting back to saying, you got to have the right tools to do the right job. So, and when I went there, I was checking to find out where it was hot, and I have my little Hummer, and it was humming, going around, and he said, "That's pretty cool right there. I didn't have one of those." I pulled out my voltmeter, and I started checking volts. He said, "I didn't have one of those." And so then I go to start stripping wires, and I got wire strippers and all kinds of stuff. And he goes, "I didn't have any of that either." I said, "It's okay, Sam. Call me. I'll be here. I got all that." And so again, we might have everything you need to do, electrical job or mechanical job. I couldn't work on the engine of a car because I don't have the tools. We have inherited everything needed to be God. Wow. It's awesome. Because you know what, golly, I'm going to ask everybody anyway, but write this down. I'm going to ask y'all. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Like it says, divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us and to His own glory and excellence, virtue. Everything we need, requisite, suited to. This class I'm taking this semester, Western Civilization. And in the very thing it says, the requisite is the English that I took 2 semesters ago. If I hadn't taken it in English, I couldn't be taking it in sports. And so, the same way, requisite things, and you've got to have things beforehand. So, again, what, and I've got something written down, but I want y'all to talk to me too. What do y'all consider, living a godly life? Anybody? That's part of it. That's a good one. I'll write that down. That's good. That's part of it. Okay. That's part two of what he said. He said, believe in God. You said, do it. The only way to believe God is to read the Word. And the only way to do it good is you got to do it. So, be good to others. That's cool. Yes. Y'all are doing good. Y'all got some good stuff here. Right now? I like what all y'all were saying. That's good stuff. What else? What else? Wait, what else? That's a good question too. Wow, this is some deep stuff. Y'all, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. All right. So is it what we think? Or what God think? Wow. Okay. So somebody else. Y'all are doing good. I'm impressed. Y'all impressed me, but of course it. Yeah. Y'all are doing good. Come on, I like this. I like this interaction. Yeah. All right. Y'all are all, huh? Okay, let me tell you what means. All of the above, then some. Here's the then some. Write this down. Micah 6. This is godliness. Get ready. Micah 6. Now I've got, let's see here. Micah 6 and 8. This is going to be your answer. This is how we're going to. This is how we're going to bring it out of Calvary. Micah, he built houses. He specialized in the poor's, and then the poor African, poor Micah. Everyone says it, poor Micah. Are y'all ready? That was his kids. Yeah. Okay. Micah 6 and 8. Yea, show thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, with all that said, let's go ahead and look at some translations here. So, here's what it requires of you. To do what is right and love mercy and walk humbly with God. And here's another version. It says, what does it more require you to do? Require of you is but to do justly. To do what is right. That's what we're talking about. I want to see how y'all got this. You know his word. You believe his word. You know his word. You believe it and you act. Alright? And to love kindness. Do unto others as you have done unto you. And mercy. Again, here we go. Stephanie, all y'all were hitting on this all over. And to humble yourself, meaning don't do it your way, do it God's way, and walk humbly with your God. Why does it mean to walk humbly with God? Doing it his way instead of doing it ours. Right? So here, you can write this down. All of that in Micah 6 and 8 is we are to have the proper attitude, or attitude-driven actions from Malachi, Micah 6 and 8. That's cool. you do this, you'll be okay. You'll find out that God will very much be pleased with you. And that's what I want. I want God to be pleased with you. I have watched people. I got people in my own family that are miserable. Absolutely miserable. They'll get on me and they'll say, don't you ever stay at home? Or you're always doing something? Why you always got to be doing this? My soul's all here. And I go, that's because I feel like I'm doing much. Two, I said, not in that one, I'm not doing something much. I love doing stuff for others. The same way. And I even told those persons, I said, that's why. I said, please, I'm not being critical. I'm just going to answer your question. I know I stay busy, but I'm happy. And I said, you are one of the most miserable people. And they just looked at me real weird. And I said, it's because the doors are in and you never quit. If you can learn to go out and help people, you'll see a whole lot better situation than what you got going on now. Of course, and that didn't come out of how to influence friends, how to win friends and influence people, but no, that was the truth. All right, so here we go. Any more questions about everything we need to be godly? Isn't that what Jesus did? He walked justly. He loved kindness. He was very merciful, and he walked humbly. All right, now number three. I inherited a divine nature. Through these, he has given us his very great, precious promises that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil doers. 2 Peter 1:4. And of course, we've also been given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you, your tickets to participate in the life of God after you turn your back on the world. We got the divine nature. Now, does that mean we don't mess up anymore? No. Because as long as we had the divine nature, we still have the human nature. And Galatians tells us, in Galatians chapter 5, it says that we're all that two are fighting. They're fighting all the time. And that you can't, there's just this battle going on within us between the spirit and the flesh. And because it is going on between us, we have to know. And we have to be ready, whatever may come. There you go. So, getting back to this, let's go a little bit further. I've inherited every spiritual blessing. Again, remember I told you, God wants to bless us, but He wants us to be a conduit. Undo the blessings, not a container. Okay? Blessing, right? Praise be to God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Meaning, whatever we need to succeed in this life, God gave. Some of us need more than others, because some of us have a whatever your task is, you can believe, according to your task, you have been given everything you need to succeed at your task. Some of our people, there's different tasks, so because there's different tasks, they're different abilities. If He's called you to do praise and worship, and you can believe that He's giving you what you need. You might have to work at it. You may have to hone it in and sharpen it. But still, it's there. If He's called you to the nursing home. It's really kind of weird. Not weird. I feel kind of bad about this because I didn't think about it to start with. I've been going to see Sister Carolyn now for several years at the Guardians of the Family. And I've been going to see Sister Helen. How long has she been there, buddy? About a year? I've been going to see her, and of course she got moved from to the memory part, and so it hit me. And they said, I walked in one day and they said, well, look, you want to bring something? I brought some daily word, daily bread in. And they said, if you want to bring a guitar in and sing, bring it. And I said, well, I didn't know I had a guitar. And they obviously haven't heard, because I told them, I said, yeah, I'm a musician. I said, I was at church, and then I got on the piano. And I asked them, y'all got any requests? They said, yeah, get off the piano. And they said, no, go ahead. So I brought the guitar and started, just brought the guitar in, had a few praise and worship songs. And those people, you'd have thought I was giving out. And so I went to go see Sister Carolyn, and I said, you know, I just left over there at Sister Helen's. You think it would do if we could do it over here? She said, oh, please, would you do it? So today I went there, and I had 7 songs. By the time they got through, they had me with 10 songs. And plus, we sang several songs more than once. Again, you'd have thought I was handing out $100 bills. All I was doing was playing the guitar and singing. Everybody singing. And they love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Well, I'm just saying, the point I'm trying to make is, I weren't there to make some big production. I just needed a guitar, and some songs to get together and sing. And they all just loved it. Oh, that's sick. Can you please come back? And if I say, yeah, I'm coming back, and I'll bring the guitar. You know, again, it's, what can we do to make it work? After I saw that, I'm thinking, why did it take me so long to realize I need to be doing that? She's having problems with memory, but she's doing okay. She's just as smart as she's ever been, and she's just a memory. That's all. And Carolyn, she's there because she's just in the family camp. So she's there. Both of them are still doing okay. All right, so, but either one of them could stand to use a visit. Right, so we inherited a divine nature, and number four, we have inherited every spiritual blessing we just said there, and we've inherited eternal life. That's the greatest of all. I will inherit God, which means whatever He said in His will, I can do, I can have. So that's here and the hereafter. I've inherited everything I need to be godly. Micah 6:8. I've inherited a divine nature. You know, you watch a spider build a web, a little bitty spider. You know, I was watching seals the other day being born on National Geo, and I watched whales being born, and as soon as they're born, they're swimming. And watching antelopes and all those, and in the backyard, I watched a cantaloupe. And the antelopes get right up and they're running. You know why? It's because they're in nature. Oh yeah, the kangaroo, yeah. But the kangaroo is kind of weird because it's born and it crawls in the pouch. It's born, crawls all the way up, makes that crawl into the pouch, and then when it's ready, you know, where are we going, Mom? This is cool. Yeah. That's right. All right. Eternal life. While for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse I love, it says, He came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it. Right. So, for God so greatly loved and deeply or dearly prized the world, that He even gave up His only begotten, unique Son, so that whoever believes in Him, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish. Come to destruction, be lost, but have everlasting eternal life. And here, I love this. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his only one and only son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and everlasting life. You know, there's coming a day when we're going to take our last breath. It's going to happen to all of us. So far, human beings have a 100% childhood. We all know. That's right. You know what? We can talk about him when we get to heaven. I'll tell you how you pick him out of the crowd. He'd be the one without the belly button. You're going to get him. Oh, well, they didn't die. They went up in the rapture. They're coming back, right? They're coming back in Revelation. They're going to be killed. So they're going to suffer death when they get back. But the rapture, folks, we're going to go up. And I believe we're going to see it soon. And remember now, if anybody you want to, about Sunday morning, remember, Sunday morning we're going to talk about zombies. And we're going to talk, and I'm going to give you a 100% accurate prediction about that. 100%. No, it's not going to be some 40 minutes. I am going to give you a 100% accurate prediction. You'll feel at ease. That's going to be part of the stuff. That's part of the reason why everybody's on this. This is one part because of all the election mess. You got people on this. Okay. Now, again, so tell your people, look, we're going to have good food, good music, and we're going to have a lot of zombies. And a 100% accurate prediction about the election. Make it up on your mind. Yep. Oh, yeah. The martial law is declared. He's president. I don't know, but the way the law states it now, we're not going to, if we're in a war, that's different. Martial law is declared. Then, because we've had guys, John F. Kennedy, he actually was the one that started it, the Vietnam conflict. Then you had Johnson, who got tired of it, said, I will not run nor accept another nomination. And then you had Tricky Dicky come in. And so, during war, you can. It's not the war, it's martial law. It's not the war overseas, it's the war over here. So if we're having war over here, they have to declare martial law. Now, if you think about it, when the city of Greenville was flooded and the Neuse River and Kinston flooded all those places, they put up curfews. I was in New England, but I was keeping up with everything because I was constantly talking to my kids and we were watching Channel 9 News on Facebook. They had a direct feed off Facebook. You got to see them while they were talking in between their broadcast and drinking Starbucks. I mean, it was really kind of cool. They go, you get ready to go on the air now. 3, 2, 1. Hey, how you doing? Before they go, man, I'm so tired. And then 3, 2, 1. Good evening. And so we were watching all those feeds and they had curfews. If you got caught with those curfews, you possibly get a chance. Yeah, because it's curfew. Yeah, and so that's right. But that's because it's curfew. That is a form, a small form, martial law, small. But the place goes haywire, and they are inciting a racial war. The government is inciting a racial war. They can say all they want to, they are inciting. I don't know, but they've been in sight for quite some time. What I'm saying is, I was sitting, after I left there, I stopped at Bojangles, and there was two Hispanic couples sitting there, and they were watching the news, and Trump was saying how the election was rigged. And she said, I heard her tell her husband, I got slagger baby. I started to say something, but I said, it's better to adult for two reasons. One, they wouldn't understand. And number two, I just want to keep hearing what they say. But they said, oh, Trump's just a big crowd. Hillary's going to beat him. We want Hillary. Who wants Trump? They want Hillary. Well, I didn't say anything. I decided this time, wisdom was keeping my mouth shut. Because I wouldn't approve of them. They are, the way they were talking, their mind was already made up. But getting back to everything, we have a small version, just last couple weeks, a small version of martial law. So once we had those riots, you have a bigger form of martial law. But now the police are out, and they are strongly enforcing in the National Guard, in the state of emergency. So if that becomes a nationwide thing, then yes. I do know this. I was on the plane with a guy. He too was a golf pro from Washington, Virginia. Golf pro is the guy that runs the golf place. He said that Obama had been there for the last 3 years. And he said that, I said, was he a good golfer? He said, not really. He said this year it was different. He said, every year before, he said the Secret Service were all over everywhere. And they were very much taken care of. He said, but this time everything seemed a little more relaxed. He said, must be because he's getting ready to go out of office. And he said, Secret Service, he got to hang more with Secret Service time. He said, he got to wear some of the fancy gadgets that the Secret Service wear. And he showed me celebrities. He had feelings with celebrities there. They were cutting up with him and his people. Really, he had a good time there in Martha's Vineyard. But he said that President Obama had plans for after he gets out of office, he's going to go back and he's going to let the golf people teach him. So they try to teach him now, but every time they try to teach him, he's mine. He's the president. He knows my difference. So he can't wait to take the and actually put his mind to it. Well, it's one funny thing, though. He said some of his guys, had their lasers pointing on the president so they could take pictures. And one of the Secret Service guys called him, the golfer, and said, we get ready to fry a couple of your guys. We're going to smoke them. So I think he was telling them to take the laser off the president. And it was not like it was not a gun. It was for the camera. And he called up his guys and said, they get ready to smoke you. And they went, yeah, we don't need to get smoked over. Now, smoke you like a pack of cools over a pitcher. All right, so here it is. This is the final one, day 7. So if you take, how many's been practicing these during the day? In the morning. Do it in the morning. Then you don't have to do all 7 all for the week. You can initially, I would say yeah, but then every now and then you can take one and use one for 1 week, one the next week, and one the next week. But everyone to get up and read this, it will change the way you see yourself. I was dealing with somebody that was going through a grievance cycle. And I was trying to find a better way to get through this grievance cycle because not only did they have a grievance cycle, they had some PTSD and CTSD. So what I did was, I asked God, I said, God, you got to show me how to help this person through this. And there's something they're doing with the military now that's very successful. It hurts to start with, but it's very successful with PTSD guys. It's called repetitive. Therapy. Because the therapy is where they take the guys and they're mentally causing the PTSD to go over. Keep on talking about it over and over. Because when you got the PTSD, you don't want to talk. And so every time you hear it and think about it, and so if you keep talking about it, you take the edge off it. Keep talking about it, eventually you can be calm about it. And so that repetitive therapy has been very successful with right meaning troops. And so, I took this person, and I said, here's what I want you to do. The top 3 things every morning about. And I said, here's what I want you to do. Every day, Here's what you do. Number one, but one thing, one hurtful memory. One hurtful memory. And I want you to write it down. And I want you to talk to your spouse, talk to your sibling about this every, I mean, once a week. Talk about that one painful memory that you don't want to talk about. Then I want you to write down seven, take seven positive for the rest of the day. I want you to write down seven positive memories about that person. And every day, I want you to bring up one of those memories and talk to your spouse or talk to your sibling about that memory and vice versa. Next day, next day, next day, next day, next day. You don't have to write any more than seven. And every day, for just as the weeks go roll by, you got one bad memory during the week and the seven good memories every day. And I told him within a month, you will see a difference. Because now, once all you got your whole DNA and we'll let you go forward, you'll be able to go forward. And so, think about earning lives. That's what this is all about. You know, all these negatives all the time. And now you got 7 days. This is awesome. It's something you can do to change the way you think, change the way you see yourself. And when you change the way you think and the way you see yourself, it changes the way others see. Again, we were grasshoppers in our own eyes. We were grasshoppers in their eyes. And say we were grasshoppers in their eyes. And we were grasshoppers in our own eyes. Likewise. Any questions? Comments? Next week, end up with an identity. We're picking something else. I had a piece of paper here somewhere that had some of the things y'all wanted to talk about. I then lost it, so I'm going to write it down again. You said you want to talk about identity. I said we talked about identity. We talked about grief. We talked about mourning. What were some of the other things you said you wanted to talk about? Making yourself know. Had some stuff right there. I got to find it. Don't remember? Oh, today's all of this. Yeah, we got to start doing it once. All of this. Yep. I heard that. I don't know. I got to look it up. I shouldn't even say it without looking it up first, but it was so profound that I still want to say it. Y'all can look it up. Y'all tell me y'all seen it. I've heard that Putin is asking Russians there in the United States to come back. He's asking his people to come back from that. All right, so now, world events, but there's something about being made whole, something. I got here somewhere. I'm going to look it up. I have to look it up. Go back. Coffee, tea, and milk. I got to get that working. That's right. Thank you. Working on a counseling training. We may not do that next. May have to but it's kind of the reason why I'm going to do it next is because I actually, when I got into it, I wasn't satisfied. And I don't want to post something that I'm not satisfied. All right. My heart's mind's clear. God's good. But look. We're an heir and a joint heir. We're an heir and a joint heir with God. We've inherited everything we need to be God. We have inherited the divine nature. We've inherited every spiritual blessing. That spiritual blessing is whatever we need to do the task that is assigned to us. Now, how do I know I'm a success? If I don't have to see the financial income from my parents. Here's how you know you're a success. If you do what you feel God has led you to do, nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with inheritance. got to do with his inheritance in us. Fulfill our mission. Right? And the inheritance are like his people. That's cool. I remember my mother-in-law had a, wasn't white, wasn't brown, wasn't golden, but it had this, they called it, I think the name of the dog was Ash, but our dog was Ash. Love her. One of the puppies was born stillborn. So they took it and they rolled it back and forth. Rolled it back and forth. And they rolled it back and forth. And then back and forth. The dog was talking. And the dog revived. And so the name of that dog was Charlie. And she would not have it. What's really funny is that the United States, I looked this up. Looking up on Scoops, whatever. I mean, Scoops, whatever you call it. Look it up. But I heard that the United States spent $10 million in the Kremlin. They let cats roam free. And so they spent $10 million fixing this cat up to be a surveillance cat. And when they got in front of the Kremlin, they opened up the van, let it run in the Kremlin, and got hit by a car all the way. I had a lady up in New England said that she had to put her dog down. The other said, well, was it bad? Well, they weren't too happy about it. Was your dog mad? Nobody wasn't none too happy about it. Okay. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. And we thank you for all that you say and do, and that your word is so strong. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us live this life before us. In Jesus, we pray. The church said, amen. What the Indian said.